So first thing I want to mention is Simon has a baseball blog. This is your opportunity to plug it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. All right, this caught me way off guard, but okay. Cool.
I know.
Yeah, follow my Substack, everyone. There's one lovely post I spent like all afternoon on a couple days ago when I should have been doing my other school assignments, but I said fuck it.
Fuck school.
And
no, actually, I'm kidding. Anyone listening?
Hopefully,
don't fuck school. School's
important. Yeah, I was gonna say, bro. And hopefully, there's gonna be one up. There's gonna be a season preview one up on before Thursday because the season starts on Thursday. Yay!
Yay! And you are going to the season opener, okay. No?
Well, the J's start on Friday.
Yeah.
Jason. But I will be, but I'll probably be getting inebriated and watching baseball all day on Thursday.
Well deserved. And it's
we have a pot. Yeah. And we're going to do the pot as well. So yeah. Okay. That's good. That's a good day. Okay. Cool.
You also have exams coming up this month too, right? So that'll be like your last getaway before you start dying pretty much.
Yeah. And I'm working, so that'll be fun. Yeah. Damn. Anyways, busy week coming up. But I'll be done in like 2 weeks, so I'll be just A1, just almost there.
Very nice. I also am going to get back on the blog game soon. You know what my last blog was?
About Y2K or something. I don't know.
Pretty much.
Oh shit! Sure.
April 2020.
Yeah. 420 blazes. Yeah,
yes.
True.
Yes.
That's good. Yeah.
No, it's not good, dude.
I'm also sick. I'm also sick, everyone. Sorry, I'm a little congested.
So yeah, I caught that as like well.
I sound like a dead guy.
Gremlin.
But yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. I just wanted to shout that out because blogs are cool and
respect. Yeah. Appreciate that, but
you reminded me to follow, hop on my own too. So,
if you follow or like to read about baseball, hit up my Substack because I don't know, it's stuff to read and it's free. So yeah, go ahead and do it. And if you have any feedback, holla at eBoy, please.
How often can readers expect you to post?
I'm gonna try to upload one or two every week. Once. Dope. Again, it's probably gonna be one this week and then maybe one next week, but after exams we're gonna try to put one up once or twice every week throughout the summer and throughout the season.
Yeah
So stay tuned to that. That's gonna be spicy. A little buffalo chicken spice on that. Yeah,
speaking of spice, I'm going to throw some stats at you now. Okay,
I love this game. Yes, go ahead.
So we're going to keep this episode light because there's not too much to talk about, but there are some important things that I want to cover. So in this player's last 13 games, he has scored 17 goals. He has scored in 12 of these last 13 games. He has 24 points in these last 13 games. That's nearly 2 points per game. And in his last 18 games, he has 33 points, also nearly 2 points per game. Who am I talking about, ladies and gentlemen? Simon, can you answer this question?
This is Austin Matthews, isn't it?
No, it's Connor McDavid. No, I'm kidding. It's Austin Matthews.
I was going to say, what the fuck? Yeah, that's fucked. That's ridiculous. That is heart caliber.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is MVP level. Like that, like unbelievable.
And this is exactly why I wanted to talk about this at the beginning of this episode, because how do we leave off last episode? What did we say?
Oh yes, heart predictions, and then I couldn't even explain myself. But yes.
Well, now you can explain yourself.
Yeah. This is actually absurd. Like that is not only is that absurd, but like the stats are one thing, but if you watch him play, it's a whole nother animal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people like watching Connor McDavid because he's like a super fast, high octane player with the puck. He can go up and down the ice. He can generate literally anything like that. Like he is literally a magician with the puck. The incredible thing with Austin Matthews is, like, he has a similar ability to kind of, as soon as he has the puck, like, he's dangerous. But like, His ability to go get the puck is also impressive. He's an unbelievable, incredible two-way player in the sense that like he can just simply take the puck away from you at any moment when he's on the ice. And look, it's kind of nice to be able to it's nice to have someone who's like that and kind of have a more of a two-dimensional player that's actually fun to watch. Because again, I think for a while now, a lot of the most entertaining players in the game have been very one-dimensional players who only like score goals or like who are terrible on their own end, like the Bergerons, the Taves, the Ryan Kesslers of the world. Ryan Kessler maybe not, because Ryan Kessler is actually kind of entertaining offensively when he's with Vancouver. But like Austin Matthews is probably one of the most exciting two-way players I have ever watched, and it's just ridiculous. And not to mention that like the Leafs have been on actually a bit of a tear, and especially since Subi came back. I think he's been back what, two games now?
Just two
won
games.
Both games, so not a huge sample. Yeah, tear. Not a huge sample size there, but like, yeah, tear 2-0, and they beat Tampa last night like 6-2 or 7-2 or something like that. Like it was, like, look, I'm not gonna sit here and say Austin Matthews is the best player in the world, because I still think in terms of talent, it's probably Connor McDavid. But in terms of level of play, but if we're talking about in terms of level of play at this current moment, I will agree and say Austin Matthews is currently playing better than Connor McDavid. Anyways, I don't know. Like, I've gone back and forth this like 8 million times, because I think the whole best player in the world thing is so subjective that like it's difficult to actually have one best player, because like that's a discussion for another day. I think Austin Matthews should win the Hart. I don't know if he's going to. But if he doesn't, that's going to be pretty ridiculous, at least in my opinion, because he's playing unbelievable right now.
I don't know if that's a discussion for another day. Can you do me a favor? And you have your Evolving Hockey, right? So I'm going to say something. In the meantime, could you pull up...
Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to pull it up. I have it up right now. Hold on.
Could you pull up Austin Matthews versus Connor McDavid? And
yeah, I'll do it right now.
I don't know if you're able to see over the course of several years, or are you just able to see per season?
I think it's just per season.
Okay. So can you look at those advanced stats for this season and last season?
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Okay, so the point that I wanted to make was, obviously, I'm in the boat of Matthews deserves the Hart this year. These stats that I've listed off, obviously, they're amazing, but also I guess the person who was also in the race for the Hart was Igor Shesterkin. And over his last 13 games, so I'm using the same 13-game sample size, Shesterkin has 7 wins, 913 save percentage, 2.5 goals against average. He's 11th in the league for save percentage over that span. Over that span, Darcy Kemper has a 942. Freddie has a 1.91 goals against average. Igor is like 9th or 11th in those two categories. And he's just kind of falling off a little bit. So if you look at the entire season, the number one goalie in the league is by no doubt Igor Shesterkin. He's a 933. But there are goalies right now who are making a late push. There are goalies, namely Freddie Anderson. I'll even throw in Darcy Kemper in there as well.
Jacob Markstrom.
And the fact that we're having these thoughts creep in into our head now about best goalie in the league, there's about a dozen games left for these teams, proves that Hart Trophy, it's got to be Austin Matthews. Vezina, sure, you can give that to Igor Shesterkin. But Hart Trophy, man, you need someone. Hart Trophy is the MVP of your team. Most valuable player in the league. This guy, on any single team, would make them an instant playoff contender. Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
Is unbelievable.
You want to enable a screen sharing real quick?
Oh, yeah, sure. God damn it.
One quick point on Igor Shesterkin. I do agree with everything you just said, especially given the fact that in his last little bit, Igor Shesterkin has been off. So yes, this is the stats for Connor McDavid versus Austin Matthews this year. So again, main thing to note, expected goals for is ridiculous. Connor McDavid's at a 5. That's ridiculous. Oh my god. Corsi 4 per 60. Connor McDavid basically owns the puck more when he's on the ice compared to Austin Matthews, but it's close. Like,
makes sense.
McDavid's at like a 3.1, 3.2, and Austin Matthews at like a 2.1, five, 2.5 or whatever. So like, I don't know. But again, like the main thing you can really see here is just Austin Matthews' like defensive numbers and the possession numbers against that. Sorry, the opposing team's possession numbers when he is on the ice is way better with when Matthews is on the ice compared to McDavid. Like, yeah.
I think what we can get what we can get from this chart over here is, yeah, sure, McDavid may have better offensive numbers, but look at the expected goals against when both are on the ice.
Yep, exactly.
There's a huge difference. Here,
right? Yeah. And just to put this into perspective, here's what it is from last season as well. And yeah, like you can, like, Connor McDavid he was better than Austin Matthews last year. Like, it's like the numbers just support that. Like, the goals 4/60, goals expected goals 4/60, Corsi 4/60. Like, it's just this year, Austin Matthews has just taken another step. He is on another level right now. And Connor McDavid hasn't taken a step this year. And I don't think that's unfair to say, but also Connor McDavid's also extremely talented. So, I mean.
So, like, here's my question. Here's my question. Okay.
Yep.
What defines best player in the league? We'll leave a Hart Trophy conversation aside now, because I think both you and I agree that it's going to be Austin Matthews. But now let's talk about best player in the league. What defines that?
Yeah. This is a topic I've wanted to go on for such a long time. I'm so glad I'm talking about this now. Because, like, for the longest time, like, I think people just considered, I think a lot of people consider, like, the best players to be the, like, basically the most skilled players and the players who are able to put out the most points. I mean, that's fine to have that opinion. And then I think especially when you have, like, networks like Sportsnet, TSN, or even for, like, other sports, like MLB, where they're doing a top five, like, position, like, top five centers, top five defensemen, top five goalies, whatever. Like, or at least for forwards and defensemen, you're really only taking their offensive output, but at least, doesn't defensive ability have to play some role in this? I would, because I mean, I've talked about this before, but Jonathan Toews used to be one of my favorite players. And why was that? Because he was a very good two-way player, and playing defense is part of the sport, right? So, like, anyways, in the last little bit, especially now that Austin Matthews is here, and I know it's incredibly biased, but I don't really care. I'm choosing to look at it now as best player who's able to generate both offense and not kill his team defensively. Not kill his team. Basically, both most talented most talented player at both ends of the ice. There we go. That's what I meant to say.
And there you go. So, for anyone who's going to listen to this debate and be like, well, listen, Austin Matthews, he has Mitch Marner to generate his offense. Well, Connor McDavid also has Leon Draisaitl, right? So I don't think we're not looking at it from the realm of who generates more offense. I think Connor McDavid, we can all agree that is a better offensive player. But, question, why did we ever think Sidney Crosby was the best player in the league for like a decade?
Because he won a shit ton of cups and he was also very talented and, like, real offensively.
But talented at both ends of the ice. And what was his, who was his biggest rival, would you say?
It was Ovi, but, like, I don't know, man. I don't think he said, his biggest rival was Ovi, who people said, oh, he's a horrible, horrible defensive player, never back checked, whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Well, you see the comparison I'm trying to make,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah. No, 100%. My main point was, I don't think anyone really looked at Sidney Crosby and said, oh, he's a great defensive player. He was never like, oh, like, that guy's a scrub in the defensive zone. He's causing his team, like, 8 goals or whatever. But, like, I get what you're saying. Sorry, I get what you're saying. Anyways,
yes. So my conclusion is, in the same way we think of Sidney Crosby as the best player in the league for that decade, when he played and it was him and Alex Ovechkin, using that logic, it would be safe to conclude, and it would be logical to conclude, that therefore Austin Matthews currently is the best player in the league. I'm just using simple logic.
I know you are. Like, as we're sitting here now, kind of reminds me of Like when Jonathan Toews won his three cups, like in 2010, 2015, 2000, and 2000, 2000 shit, 2015, 2017, I think it was. People were talking about him being the best player in the league, and part of it being because he was a two-way player compared to Sidney Crosby. And this is eerily similar to that. But the crazy thing is, Auston Matthews is miles better offensively than Jonathan Toews ever was. I think Jonathan Toews' career high in points is like 76 and 82 or something like that.
Yeah.
Auston Matthews has 54 goals alone this season. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I have so many thoughts on this topic, because how do you really describe the best player? And I think the answer is you just can't. It's because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, because it's a debate point, and that's what it's going to be until the end of time. Because literally the only time it's actually relevant is when you're voting for awards, which is literally it's essentially a debate, because you're saying who's better, him or him or him, and then fan debates, like who would you rather have? So I mean.
That's a great question that you just asked there. What'd you just say? Who would you rather have on your team? At this point in time, April 5th, 2022, who would you rather have on your team? Auston Matthews or Connor McDavid?
Don't make me do this.
I'm going to make you answer this question. Eat your veggies, answer this question.
I'm gonna go Connor McDavid, man.
Wow!
I love Auston Matthews. I think he's been the best forward this year. But if you're telling me right now, I have a team, I can start my team off with one player, any player in the world, I'm going Connor McDavid. I'm going Connor McDavid.
Well, then in that case, what you said about the Hart Trophy earlier in this ride, you're just contradicting yourself.
No. I said, okay, when we're talking about the Hart Trophy, when we're talking about like what makes Auston Matthews so valuable, I think he's the best player because he's playing the best hockey at both ends of the ice. However, that's different from saying if you have one player, you have a team, you can start off with one player. It's a different situation. It's like, because there's so many other things that go into like starting your team off with one player, if that makes sense.
Okay, fair enough. I put you in a tough position over there.
Yeah, like, yeah. These are the two best players in the league, like by far. And I, like, the thing is, I think David and Matthews are so far ahead of like so many other players in the league. The only other guy, as we're sitting here right now, I could be wrong because I'm just making this point off the top of my head, but I don't think I'm really wrong as I'm sitting here thinking about it. The only other guy who I think is remotely close plays a completely different position, and that's Cale Makar.
Okay.
Cale Makar has a shot at 30 goals as a defenseman. He has like 80 something points in 75 games.
That's fucked.
He's unreal. Unreal.
Let me pull up the defenseman. So since the beginning of the 2021 season, excuse me. Sorry, since the beginning of 2021 calendar year, January 1st, 2021. excuse me. Who are the top three defensemen in terms of points?
Oh man.
Take a guess. Okay.
Last 3 years?
No. Since the calendar year turned to 2021. Oh, okay. So January 1st, 2021 till now.
Okay. Oh man, that's going to be tough. I'm going Morgan Riley, Cale Makar, and oh boy, I'll go like Chris Letang. I'll go Letang. I'll go Tanger. No, it's not Tanger. Oh,
where are you getting these names Edmund? From, bro?
Victor Hedman. I don't know. I have no idea. I was
okay.
I know. Well, Morgan Riley is like 49 assists. So I assume he was on a tear, which is why I assumed you asked the question. But I don't really know. Anyways, go.
Well, okay. Well, Morgan Riley is top 10 in the league since that time. He's eighth in points. He has 93 in 124 games played. However, third, and I don't know why you didn't say this, is Adam Fox was with 113.
I was going to say Adam Fox. I think that was literally, but then yeah, when you made the justification, when you made like the clarification, I misunderstood, so I've got it in my head. Anyways, yes, I was going to say Adam Fox is literally the second name that came up, but anyways, go ahead.
And then Roman Yossi with 114 in 114 games. You forgot him as well.
Yeah. There's too many good defensemen, man.
the defenseman you mentioned, Cale Makar, 119 points in 109 games. And he has the most goals for defensemen since that time as well, with 32.
That's absurd. That is, anyways, like, yeah. He's crazy. Like, he's actually crazy. Oh, yes. My God. So that's why it's like, that's my thing. He is that good at generating goals and generating offense at a position where there's some, but like, he's just on another level. Like, he's unreal.
Yeah. I want to get back to the Leafs, though. So, do you know how many hat tricks Austin Matthews has had this season?
I want to say 3, but I'm not sure.
4.
4, yeah.
True. So, he had December 1st versus Colorado, January 31st versus the Devils.
Right.
March 8th versus yesterday Seattle. Versus
the Lightning.
And then yesterday versus the
Lightning. Oh, right, Seattle. Right, okay, I've heard this. Yeah.
And he has now 54 goals this season, which ties Rick Vive for most goals in a season by a Toronto Maple Leaf.
And he has 13 games to go till the end of the year.
He's going to hit 60-plus goals 100%. He could even hit 65 at his current pace, and that wouldn't even be stunning.
Dude,
that's assuming.
It's possible. It is possible. It is possible. I'm not disagreeing at all. I'm not.
Because think about it. That's 11 more games in the next 13 games. Sorry, 11 more goals in the next 13 games, correct? I just told you he has 17 goals in the last 13 games.
Yeah.
He would have to cool down significantly to miss 65 goals this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. here's the thing, right? So like,
so
if he hits 60 goals, and I believe he will, he's going to win the Hart, at least in my opinion. The crazy thing is the Leafs as of right now. Actually, hold on, I'm gonna pull this up while I go on about this. The Leafs are currently 7 points behind the Florida Panthers for first place in their division. Mm-hmm. And if they pass the Florida Panthers, they will have the most. The Panthers are number 2 in the league right now in points at 102. The Avalanche have 104. If the Leafs pass the Panthers and clinch the number 1 seed in their division, and by doing so also winning the number 1 seed in the Eastern Conference, Auston Matthews will also clinch the Hart, I think. He will. Like, and they play the Panthers twice before the end of the year, both in Florida. That is 4 points right there. And I don't know if anyone's been watching any of the Florida Panthers recently, but they're still an incredibly talented team, but they've looked pretty suspect the last little bit.
Yeah.
And they've won 4 in a row, what am I saying?
but no, I know what you're saying. There have been some shaky wins.
Like, they're great on paper. I just have questions. Like, they've scared me a little bit, because, again, this was my pick to win the division. This was my pick to come out of the East, I believe. And Bob, their goaltending's been... They were down, like, 6-2 to the Devils, and they came back and won. Absolutely Looney Tunes game. But, yeah, like... there's a real shot where the Leafs come out with the number one seed in the Atlantic. I don't know if they come up ahead of Carolina, but like,
I think
it's gonna be tough. Huh?
I made a prediction last episode where they're gonna get close, but they're not gonna do it. I think that stands. I really want them to, but I'm gonna be realistic. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to win the division. They will get close though. just based on the fact that currently the Leafs are the hottest team in the league with the hottest players, players multiple in the league, which I'll get into shortly.
Like, see, one last thing on the Panthers. I can't remember what I said last episode in terms of where I thought the Panthers were going to be at the end of the year. Like, they don't have Aaron Ekblad right now. And one of the things that I thought was having Ben Chiarot was really going to help them get through that. And what I've seen or what I think I've saw so far is that I don't know what to expect with this Florida defense corps any given night without Aaron Ekblad. And I think it's very difficult to kind of expect that your team's going to do that well when this is the case, especially considering your goal, like their goaltending has been pretty suspect since the All-Star break, or at least it was. I'm not sure how it's been as of late, but again, like they also have a ridiculous forward group who can help them basically outscore their problem. So I don't know, like maybe this is nothing, but I don't know, man. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how Florida does down the stretch, because they're seven up on the Leafs right now. So that's a big gap. That's a very big gap. So we'll see.
The other player I want to talk about. So obviously we know McDavid's a bum. Matthews is absolutely unbelievable right now. So funny how we went complete like 180.
No lies here. No lies were just told. But yes, go ahead.
Yes. I also want to shout out someone else. So this player, since January 1st of this year, he has 63 points in 36 games. Do you know who I'm talking about, sir?
63 and 36?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a Leaf?
It's Mitch Marner, ladies and gentlemen.
I was going to say that. Okay. I figured it was either Mitch Marner or like... When you said, okay, if you're going to shout out Mitch Marner, there's quickly one player I want to shout out. I won't go on a tangent, but I swear I'll make this quick. Pierre Engvall has been a monster. Engvall has been on an absolute freaking tear.
Yeah.
Like, okay, he's an RFA at the end of the year. He's making 1.25 right now. I was at the All-Star break. I was like, he'll be a nice player to have because there's absolutely no shot he plays any better to be able to make himself more money, so Leafs might be able to get him on a cheaper contract. No, he is very well on his way to probably playing himself to a nice little raise, but I don't know. I can't see him getting much more than what he's getting right now. But like, anyways, okay. Mitch Marner. This was a Mitch Marner rant. So we'll go to Mitch Marner because. Pierre Engvall is Pierre Engvall, but yeah.
I mean, he's not really on a tear. He has 2 goals and 3 points in the last 3 games. It's like, I don't know where you're getting
Go ahead. Go ahead. Hold on. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Pull up Mitch Pierre Engvall after I talk about this. So, Mitch Marner, 36 games played since the beginning of this year. That's January 1st, 2022. He has 63 points in 36 games. Ladies and gentlemen, that's almost 2 points every single game. That's a 144-point pace over an 82-game season. Number 2 and 3 in the league, Mr. Simon, can you guess who they are?
Who's 2 and 3?
For points since January 1st of this year.
Is it Matthews and Bunting?
No.
I was gonna say if it is, that's crazy. Damn. Matt, like, you said Marner's number one?
Mm-hmm.
Man. I'll go Matthews and I'll go McDavid.
McDavid is 8th.
I'll bite. No. Is he actually?
Yep.
Holy shit, that's wild. Okay. Who's been on an absolute tear as a
number light? 2, I'll just tell you. Number 2 is Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah, I should have known that. He had 2 goals last night. Unbelievable.
62 points in 40 games. And number 3 is Maddie with 59 points in 37 games. But still, Mitch Marner with more points than both of them in less games than both of them.
Yeah.
Marner's been unbelievable. And I just want to say that this season has been the quietest one so far for any of the contract drama over the last 4 years.
Oh, I know. It's so nice. Oh, my God. Ugh.
Such an underrated thing about this year. It's just a nice fucking warm hug, bro. The lack of criticism that we've had toward Mitch Marner, Auston Matthews, John Tavares, William Nylander combined this season, the big four, has been so fucking good.
The Willie criticisms heated up the last little bit, but
I'm combining them all though. I'm combining them all. The criticism toward the big four combined this season has been so much less.
Yeah, Mitch Marner especially. And again, like, I was pretty tough on Mitch Marner. Like, I've said this before. I was very tough on Mitch Marner at the beginning of the year just because of how poorly he played against the Canadiens last year, which was justified in my opinion. But he has shut me up. He's played unbelievably well, and he is. Invalidated a lot of things that I've said about him at the beginning of the year. Again, I hope that he plays like this in the playoffs because, again, that's, again, TBD in terms of what we see from him in the playoffs. But, like, he's doing everything he possibly can right now to kind of shut everyone up. He's been an unbelievable penalty killer. He's put up a lot of points. He is probably one of the biggest reasons... Auston Matthews is incredibly talented, don't get me wrong, but he is no doubt a huge part of how he got the 54 goals. Like, and I think he's probably a pretty big reason why the power play is, like, number one in the league and has been ever since, like, what, December? Like, anyways, he's looked unbelievable. He continues to look really great, and hopefully he can keep this momentum rolling the rest of the year, because again, they're gonna need him for the playoffs, and hopefully he comes and does the same thing in the playoffs. That's all. Yeah,
now talk about your Pierre Engvall thing.
Pierre, I don't have a whole lot to say about Pierre Engvall. I just think I was at, like, going into this season, Pierre Engvall was a player I was incredibly frustrated with, especially at the end of last year, just because he's such a luxury to have sometimes, but there's also moments where he makes you want to rip your hair out, because, like, there was a time where as soon as he had the puck, he would just throw it away and just kind of have absolutely no idea what he wanted to do with it. He's like, okay, I have the puck, what do I do? And, like, when you're a third or fourth line player who's not playing all that much time, you can't really afford to make those mistakes. And I think prior to this year, he was someone who was taking a lot of stupid, a bunch of stupid penalties. And again, he's on the penalty kill, so you can't do that. But as of late, he's been pretty solid with the puck. I really liked him when he's played with Kampf and McKayev? I can't remember who he's playing with right now. He's looked really good as of late.
Yeah.
He's made the penalty kill so much more dangerous. Like, the Leafs are currently leading the NHL in shorthanded goals. I think they have like 13 or 14 shorthanded goals. Like, he's such a nice compliment. And if he keeps playing like this, it's going to be hard to take him out of the lineup if they have to, when they're looking at what lineup they want to dress for the playoffs. And, like, man, like, this is exactly the type of player this team needs, a player who's making not a whole lot of money, who can, like, actually contribute throughout the lineup, both, like, shorthanded and help kill penalties, as well as actually kill time and actually have good shifts in the offensive zone and be defensively responsible, because he's all of those. But his problem in the past, he's been so inconsistent. But if he can keep this up, I think he'll be able to secure a spot in the Leafs roster, like long term, like after the season, because there's going to be some shakeup this year because they do have some free agents coming up. But, like, we'll see what happens. But I'm really happy with Pierre Engvall so far.
Yeah, I think the Leafs in the last four or five games, they have like three or four shorthanded goals. It's ridiculous how good the penalty kill has been. Granted, it's been against teams like New Jersey and Philadelphia included. But, dude.
It was against Tampa last night. Mm-hmm. Like, that was, yeah. Yeah. Their penalty kill has been unbelievable. And Kyle Dubas deserves so much credit for bringing players like David Kampf. Sorry, for bringing in David Kampf. Not players like David Kampf. David Kampf has been really good on the penalty kill all year. Andre Kasha was on the penalty kill. He's incredibly responsible defensively. He's been very good. Like, and they're getting Muzzin back tonight, which I am so excited for. Sorry, excited. Sorry, I won't say excited. I will say cautiously optimistic for. That's what I will say. Because we talked about this, maybe not last episode, but recently. Jake Muzzin's evolving hockey charts have been very good this year compared to last year. So we're gonna see which Jake Muzzin we get back, and then we can go from there. But if you're getting the 2020-2021 Jake Muzzin back in this lineup, oh baby, like that's.
Yeah. And if he plays on your third line with Justin Hall or Timothy Liljegren or Rasmus Sandin, dude, what a third line. Third pairing.
Actually. Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Oh.
I like. Okay. Well, let me ask you this because I want to hear your thoughts on this. Who do you take out for Jake Muzzin?
Okay, well, you got Riley Labushkin, you got Giordano Brody, then you got my ideal pairing would.
Oh, you have Giordano.
My ideal pairing would be.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Probably Muzzin, Sandin. Yeah. So that would mean I take
so out Liljegren. So as of right now, just at so home. You know, the pairs are Labushkin, Riley, Hall, Brody, and then Giordano Liljegren. So personally, I don't touch Giordano and Liljegren because they've looked great. They have looked great.
Yes, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but. I think you can already figure out what I'm going to say with the yes, but. Playoffs are coming up, dude. Like, who are you going to take out when Jake Muzzin comes in? It's got to be Hall or Liljegren. It's got to be one of Hall or Liljegren.
Yeah. Yeah. So I take out Hall. That was going to be my answer. And here's the thing. Like, I know that's unpopular, and I know Justin Hall has played so much better since Jake Muzzin actually left the lineup. But man, like, if there's one thing, even now, I still criticize Justin Hall for, you have no idea what this man is going to do. You have no idea. And like, you like, they can't afford, like, the one thing out, like, Liljegren is young. Liljegren is very inexperienced. I don't think he's even played a playoff game yet. So I will 100% concede that. However, I feel way more comfortable with Liljegren handling the puck in his own zone than Justin Hall. And okay. I think that says a lot.
Okay, I was thinking about this just now. We're both talking about the same thing. Our pairings are different, but we're both okay with Liljegren being in the lineup. It's either going to be Liljegren or Sandin as the sixth defenseman for the playoffs.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't think Sandin sees the if again. So Sandin's out with a knee injury. If this is the same injury that was injured prior in the season when Neil Pionk like kneed him in Winnipeg, I don't think he sees the ice the rest of the season. Or I don't think he sees the game the rest of the season. They would be crazy to rush him back just for the playoffs. That they this is a, especially with a knee injury, when you start rushing back that type of injury, you are talking about potentially like handicapping this player's career. And he's only like what, 21, 22, if even that. So like, again, I don't have any inside information on that. I think realistically, the guys that are going to be in circulation tonight, like Muzzin, Hall, Giordano, Liljegren, Riley, Labushkin, are going to be your main guys you're talking about for the playoffs. Because again, I just don't see Sandin coming back like realistically before the playoffs.
Yeah, they are going to try to keep Muzzin and Hall together tonight just to see if that pairing can develop some chemistry again. But we'll see what happens.
Wait, hold on, who's out?
I think Liljegren's out tonight.
No,
I think
Sheldon.
So.
Sheldon.
But I don't blame him considering Hall and Muzzin at one point were good.
Yeah, at one point. They've looked like absolute dog shit this year.
Oh, okay, it's Sheldon. One game. I'm curious to know.
Against
this one
Florida.
Game. Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is a huge game.
Yes.
Oh, no.
I'm okay with it. I'm
Okay,
okay with
I'm.
it.
Oh
With it,
gosh,
it's one game, right?
I'm
It's one
not.
game.
I'm not. I'm not.
Okay, I
I'm
want to
so
transition.
mad.
I also want to talk about the Leafs special teams. So this season, Toronto's power play is first in the league, 29.7%. This season, 29.7%, that's their power play. Penalty kill is also fifth in the league, 84%. So both are exceptional this season, which is fantastic. Oh my God. What a breath of fresh air. I'm going to quickly throw some news at you, and then I'm going to play a quick Simon Says, and then we'll wrap up. Does that sounds good to you?
Yep. You're good.
Okay, so Hossa's retiring.
Okay. Next.
Sean Monahan is out for the season. Sean
That's a
Monahan
big
is,
one. That's a big one. Yeah, like that genuinely blows. I think he's probably played his last game as the Calgary Flame, which sucks. But it's too bad.
But
Hopefully he doesn't.
he was playing on the fourth line for the majority of the season. He was not having a good season at all.
Yeah. I think he's probably I think both sides. I think he might be a pending free agent at the end of the year. I'm not
He is.
100% sure,
He
but
is.
even if he isn't, yeah. Okay, so he's gone. He's out of Calgary. Hopefully he can get a fresh start. It's kind
Sorry.
of too bad. Like I said, like he. Sorry,
Sorry,
go
sorry,
ahead.
sorry. Clarification. He has one more year after this one, then he's a UFA.
After. Oh, got it. Okay, got it. Got it. I still think he's gone. I think he's traded anyway.
Yeah, me
So
too.
hopefully they can find a. Find a new spot for him. He's really kind of fallen off a cliff very quickly in the last 2 years or so. And I think I read stuff about from Calgary's Flame fans and media about the team making him play through injuries or something like that. I don't really know, but I still think he can be a really effective player. And honestly, I don't know how they'd make the money work, but if I actually know Edmonton has Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, there's a lot of teams who could use Sean Monahan as like a second line center, I think, and I think he'd be good at it. So I mean. I just think once they got Elias Lindholm, it became very difficult to justify having three guys like that, especially how much they're paying Sean Monahan. So, anyways,
Yeah.
we'll see what happens, but hopefully he can turn around.
He only has 23 points in 63 games played this season, and he's a Flames 65 games this season. He's a Flames worst minus 15. Okay.
Wow. Oof.
Ryan Getzlaf is also retiring. He announced that he will retire at the end of the season. Legend.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't. Good for Getzy. Unbelievable career. Stanley Cup champion, gold medalist. I think world junior champion as well. He's been unbelievable for a very long time, and he's deserved the time. He's old. Yeah, I don't blame him for wanting to retire, especially when the Ducks are towards the rebuilding area. So they have been rebuilding, but you get what I'm saying.
This season Ryan Getzlaf has 31 points in
42
49 games
points.
played.
Oh, even more than I thought.
But
Oof.
honestly, it's not bad considering this guy is now
Yeah.
36 years old.
Wow, only 36. That's so interesting. Okay. I didn't know that. Huh.
He's been in the league since 05, 06. That's a long, long time, man.
He was
And
in that legendary draft. That's crazy.
yep. And he's still playing and he's serviceable. He's actually having kind of a bounce back season because last season he had 17 points only in 48 games
Yeah.
played.
Yeah. Well, last year they also didn't have Trevor Zegras, and Troy
Yes.
Terry was a bum still. So,
Yeah.
anyways.
And I think total for his career, he's 1150 games played and he got 1013 points, which is exceptional.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
Right?
Yeah. That's crazy. Holy shit. Yeah. Wow. Good
Didn't he
for
win
him.
the Art Ross one year?
Might have. I have no idea. He's been quite good, though. Corey Perry won it 1 year.
Oh,
Corey Perry won
that
the
was funny.
Rocket, and he won the Hart.
That's funny.
Corey Perry used
He
to be
was,
fucking
yeah.
unbelievable.
Yeah, that Ducks team.
He's on the short. I think he's one of the few players in the last decade who scored 50 goals, which is unbelievable. And
Yes.
then he fell off a cliff, like a
But
cliff.
still
But yeah.
serviceable. Still serviceable. Corey Perry?
I
Yeah.
mean, not. I mean, now he is, sure, but anyone who wants a fun little exercise, if Go back and look at the contract that Corey Perry signed after he won the Hart Trophy, or like a couple years after he won the Hart Trophy. That contract like destroyed the Ducks. It destroyed them because they're basically, yeah, anyways, I'm not gonna explain too much, but like he basically, long story short, classic story. He had a really, really good season. He got paid for that season. He underperformed like severely the rest of his career or rest of his time with the Ducks, and he fell off a cliff. So, anyways, yes.
Are you making people listening to our podcast do homework? How dare you?
Yeah, too bad. I'm professor. No, I'm not gonna. Anyways, go ahead.
Last news. There are two clinching scenarios tonight. Carolina Hurricanes, Colorado Avalanche could clinch. So far, the only team that has is the Florida Panthers. Cool. You want to play Simon Says?
Hold on, sorry, just give me 1 second. I am looking up this Corey Perry contract because I want everyone to know how bad this contract was. Okay, so da, 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 da. Thank you for listening. No, I'm joking. So in 2000 and 2012, 2013, Corey Perry signs an extension on March 13th. Sorry, March 19th, 2013. So that is 2 years after his Hart Trophy season. In 2013, in 2020, sorry, in 2012, Corey Perry had 37 goals in 80 games. In 2011, 2010, 2011, Perry had 50 goals in 82 games. He had 98 points in 82 games in 2010, 2011,
Wow.
60 points in 80 games in 2011, 2012. The Anaheim Ducks decided to reward him, as they should, with a very long contract of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And the average annual value was $8.6 million. Now, you may ask, what happened on this contract? He got bought out. He was bought out, and yeah, like I think they're still paying him actually, which is kind of funny. Yeah, anyways, so I have nothing against Corey Perry. I actually used to really like Corey Perry when I was on the Ducks. He's actually probably one of my more favorite players, but anyways, he just didn't work out, so
Let's play Simon Says.
okay, the best game ever, but yes.
This is going to be a quick one. It's going to be just one question, and I'm going to see how many of these you get right. Since the 2018-2019 season, how many former or current captains have the Leafs had on their roster?
Oh
There are
man, like
six.
since when?
Since 2018-2019, there are six. I want to see if you can get them all right. That's your
Sorry, one
hint.
second. I accidentally unplugged my mic. Okay, so let's go. So, okay, former captains. There are six. Am I naming them?
Yes.
Okay, I think I should be able to do this. Okay,
Okay.
I'm doing this in no particular order.
Sorry.
John Tavares,
Yep.
former captain of the New York Islanders. Joe Thornton, former captain of the San Jose Sharks. Nick Foligno, former captain of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Mark Giordano, former captain of the Calgary Flames. Jason Spezza, former captain of the Ottawa Senators. And hold on. This is just captains, right? This isn't assistant captains. This is just like straight captains.
Yep.
No. This is gonna bother me.
Since the 2018-2019 season.
2018 season.
Patrick Marleau.
Yes.
Let's go. Okay, we good. Okay. That was gonna, if I didn't get that was gonna bother me. Okay, sick.
I wonder if I shouldn't have given you the sixth hint, if you would be able to get them still.
Probably not.
Anyway.
Like, because that's a good, yeah. I completely forgot that Marleau was the captain of the Sharks for a good chunk of time there.
Yeah. Leafs got a lot of
Wasn't
leadership on the team, dude.
they did. I'm sorry, they should bring back Patrick Marleau for one season. Just,
Said no one
man,
ever.
I want it. I would love, like, could you imagine Patrick Marleau on the fourth line?
No.
Oh,
No, no, dude, no, 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 no.
Oh, also, for any Leafs fans that were at the Heritage Classic, if you go to lids.ca, you can get a Heritage Classic jersey for $80.
By the time this episode will be up, the sale will be over. It's gone.
Yeah. So did you get one?
I probably will get one. Not yet. I will get one later today.
If my parlay hits, I'm going to get it because I had a really nice turnaround yesterday. And if I win my parlay tonight, okay. Before we go, I'm going to quickly read off my parlay I have because, like, it's going to kill me if I don't get it, but whatever. Not kill me. I only put like $5. I put $5 down, and I have. Okay. I'm taking No, that's not it. Hold on. Okay, I'm taking the Nashville Predators over the Minnesota Wild in Nashville tonight. I am taking the Carolina Hurricanes over the Sabres. I'm taking the Boston Bruins over the Detroit Red Wings.
That might be your
New York Rangers. What, Bruins and Red Wings?
I'll explain later on. Keep going.
Okay. New York Rangers and New Jersey Devils. And then the Colorado Avalanche at the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's a $5 bet to pay out $62.
That's not gonna happen, dude. I'm telling you right now, you're not gonna win.
Oh, I'm not expecting to take out 62. If I'm able to hit like 15, I'm gonna cash out at 15. And I'm not expecting to, like, I'm literally doing this to like try to slowly build up my thing.
The reason why I think you might lose is so two of them. I think your Avalanche and Pittsburgh Penguins, that might actually turn out to be wrong. I also have a parlay for tonight. I did not touch that game. I just don't know. And then also,
Bruins, I thought about that too.
Bruins, this is their third game in four nights. Just saying.
Yeah. That's fair, but the Boston Bruins have also been like one of the hottest teams in the NHL since like January. So like,
which is true.
Like, and like they are a, say what you will about the Boston Bruins, outside of that Leafs game, like they're a model of consistency. You know what you're going to get with them. The Leafs just were a hotter team, and they kicked the shit out of them for like 40 minutes. And the Bruins almost came back and won that game. That's the crazy thing. They almost came back.
Yeah.
And then the Avalanche, I will take the current President's Trophy winners over anyone. Like, except for the... the Calgary Flames redeemed themselves. The Calgary Flames redeemed themselves to me last night. They helped me turn like a $42 turnaround or $42 cash out yesterday. Oh, that's so nice. Ugh.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's skedaddle. This has been fun. I liked today's episode. We had a good debate. I'm going to do the outro. If you don't mind, I'm stealing your thunder now.
Do it. Do it. Just do it. You're probably better than me, so go for it.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Please like and subscribe. Hit that bell notification icon on Spotify so you don't miss our episodes. This has been a blast.
Wow, you're way better than me. Oh my god.
See you on episode 38 next time. Peace.
Ride.